The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Here on this last day of Black August. It is August the 31st, 2016, and it is Wednesday night. You are here at the Lotus Place, and we want you to call in because we're going to talk about a couple of the stories floating around the Black Twitter and news. I see businesses that I've gone into over the past couple of days, and also on my news feed, just if it's not Trump, if it's not something about Trump, then I've been seeing this Colin Kaepernick, which I honestly never heard of him. I don't watch football anymore. Didn't know anything about this young man until I started hearing about him not wanting to stand up when the Star Spangled Banner is sung at the games, as we all know, athletic games. I think it was, which one of those presidents? Was it Woodrow Wilson, I believe, that first made it official to sing, for someone to sing or to have the national anthem played at games and ceremonies and whatnot. So anyway. Let me just say this while we're speaking about the national anthem. And Featherlight, welcome in. Namaste. I know you can agree to this. Marvin Gaye.
Namaste.
Namaste. Marvin Gaye sang the best national anthem, even though that's such a...
Oh, yes.
Warlike song. But Marvin Gaye, he made it sound like a love song.
He did. He had the pause in there, and oh my gosh, yeah, that was the best.
Yes, Marvin Gaye had the best national anthem presentation, and then I would have to say Whitney Houston after that. But anyway, but if you really listen to, even if you just listen to the part that we are familiar with, it's still a warlike song. It's a horrendous.
It is.
And they had a lot to talk about gangster rap. That's why I really want to bring this whole deal. You talk about gangster rap. Listen to that goddamn Star Spangled Banner song. So, but anyway, we'll get more into all of that about this whole Star Spangled Banner and Colin Kaepernick. He's refusing to stand because, honey, he said he will not stand and honor a flag that oppresses its black people and people of color.
And I said, "Say what now? What's your name, Mirror the damn boy?"
"Hey, what's your name, Mirror?"
"Yeah, what's your name,
Mirror?"
"Okay, hold on." I certainly appreciate that, because you know we will these athletes and celebrities, so-called artists. If you're not trying to be like Nina Simone, Paul Robeson, Jim Brown, Harry Belafonte, baby, Diane Carroll, Marlon Brando, Dick Gregory, what? No, you use your platform and
right.
You choose not to, like Lil Bow Wow, which now he's talking about he retired, and Black Twitter just pulled him through the mud on that one. Like,
I retired, I haven't made enough money.
I was in high school. Well, that was the last time you put something out. Anyway, retired. We thought you already retired. I think somebody said, I didn't even know he was still alive. I said, oh my goodness. But like Lil Bow Wow, he said he didn't feel like he should speak on any civil rights actions or topics because he's of a mixed race. So anyway.
Baby, you black.
I'm not even
be pulled over.
Qualify any of that. Yeah, whatever. Lil Bow Wow. But anyway, so this Colin Kaepernick, he's spoken up. Yay you. Wait a minute. Hold up. You know, we have to give him a hand clap. Wait a minute.
Oh yes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the words in the third stanza, it openly celebrates the murder of slaves. I mean, it just says it. And you know, and we're just singing. You know, I used to. I don't sing it now, but I used to mumble it anyway.
We just didn't know what the hell hurling slaves and all of that stuff. When they sing the national anthem, that part, lyrics, I'm trying to pull it up right now. Those lyrics, they don't really go into that portion of the song.
That's why I never really, but it's there.
It is there, you will read it tonight here at the Lotus Place. And also this whole Chris Brown situation. And normally I wouldn't even think nothing about, you know, any of this Chris Brown. I would just say, oh, Chris Brown, he in trouble again. Oh, that boy needs to sit down. He needs to stop dyeing your hair blonde, and maybe your brain won't be fried. I don't know. But normally I would just completely just ignore this whole story with Chris Brown, which I initially did when I first saw his face like trend on my computer. And because I have these little, what do you call them, the feeds that come through, RSS feeds. And so I saw his face, and I was like, oh, I wonder, you know, what's going on with Chris Brown. Then I saw it again, and then I think I finally clicked on the link or whatever, but the next day, like yesterday, I found out this whole deal, I think it was yesterday, was it today? I don't know, these days just blend into each other. Yesterday. And so the boy had like a 9-hour standoff with the police because of this girl being there in the home, and she, because I'm white, she said that Chris Brown pulled a gun on her and all of this, and I guess she was afraid for her life and all of this. But I want to go into her story, and we'll go into her story a little bit later. We want to jump on some other things before we actually get into that. But this little white girl is a thief, okay? So that's just crazy. Why are you...
Wanted for grand theft, not just the regular thief.
Theft, yes.
Yes.
Wanted for grand theft. So we don't know if Chris Brown found out the girl's a thief, and that's why he told her to get out of my house while you're in here trying to touch on jewelry and take jewelry and all of this. And then she goes out and has an immediate interview with TMZ. Sounds like a setup to me. And the reason why I say that this is a setup, sounds like a setup to me, is because just a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, Chris Brown had this like live stream conversation with pretty much other celebrities, his colleagues, and he said, we need to just forget about making all the money. We've made enough. We need to stand up. We need to take a stand as to what's going on. What's going on in our community. So it sounds like he was doing the, what you call it, a call out, war cry. There you go.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sounds like to me the war cry. And, you know, he was calling all soldiers.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you got little Miss Steve and White Girl. I don't know when these people are going to learn. Yeah, Becky. Now you have Becky with the bad grades. Becky. You have Becky. Thanks, Shelter Life. That was good. You have Becky now giving interviews accusing you of possibly attempted murder and all of this. He put a gun on me and blah, 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 blah. But see, I have yet, which I don't watch the news, so I can't say. I don't know. Maybe someone that watches the news, please call in and let us know. I wonder, have these corporate media actors been talking about her record? That's what I would like to know. So if anyone has seen the news, and if the news has been talking about this Chris Brown story and TMZ interviewing this little girl and all of this stuff, supposed to be somehow fake beauty queen, whatever. I want to.
And how can you have a warrant out for your arrest, but then you file a complaint against somebody else? That's crazy.
That's just like that other crazy, probably some neo-Nazi guy. This old man, he was living next to these. I think they were from Pakistan. They were Pakistani, and these people had already filed all kind of restraints against him, and the man had previously ran over the mother as she was walking. Just all kinds of things like this. And so the son in the family actually called 911 after all these different incidents that have been occurring with this neighbor for over a year. They should have had police protection on them because the man was clearly accident. So the son calls 911 and tells him he sees some suspicious behavior around his home. And then I think it took a while for the cops to come out, but by the time they came out, this crazy neo-Nazi neighbor had shot and killed this young boy. Now, he had already... That should have been attempted murder when he hit the wife with the car, but no, they let him out on bail. I think he had it was something with the gun and all this kind of business, which he never should have been released. But the family is saying he never should have been released without an ankle monitor, because they had
definitely
about this man and all kinds. And so when these people commit crimes or do whatever, it's okay. We'll let you go home, bail out, reasonable bail based on your means. But if you're black, you live in Ferguson, and you live probably in Baltimore, where they spying on you all up in the helicopters, peering in your homes and watching in your cars and all of that. So if you're in Ferguson and places like that, we're going to lock your tail up for 3 weeks. And it's 3 weeks based on this little stupid traffic stop, because we only opening up the court whenever we feel like it. That's how they do it there. So this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just ridiculous. But on a good note, Featherlight. Angela Corey.
Yeah.
The fake prosecutor. Florida. Right, that so-called prosecuting George Zimmerman was not reelected. So that's two down.
That needs a hand. That needs a hand.
Okay, that's right. Okay, let me get the hand clap.
Woo! Oh, I was so glad.
Angela Corey was not reelected, and we were just talking about the other day because of this case. You want to kind of give us a brief synopsis, because you're most familiar with that case with the young man. What's his name? Christian, I believe.
Yes. Let me see. Now, Christian was, this happened in 2013. This young man was accused of killing.
Don't give us all the details, just like kind of just give us a brief synopsis of the story. Like,
okay, all right. Her office arrested this young boy. He was 12 years old at the time.
12.
For the death of his brother. They questioned this young boy. He was 12 years old.
Hold up.
Adult.
Why was he arrested, though?
He was arrested. Because his brother died after an untreated concussion. That's how it was stated. So they're accusing him of hitting his brother. Yes, playing, wrestling. You know how children do. The little boy was 2 years old. Okay, and then there was a third child. So the mother came home. The little boy was unconscious, and she did not take him to the doctor for several hours. It was reported that by looking at her computer, that she was on the computer looking up emergency room places, and also did a little shopping. So the little boy, baby, the 2-year-old died, and they accused the 12-year-old of, get this, first degree murder.
Right.
First degree. That's the highest that you can go. That's premeditated. This little boy is 12 years old. And they got him to confess. Mm-hmm. They got him to, he kept changing his story. Well, we were playing. Then I hit him. No, I hit his head against the, they arrested the mother later for, like, they charged her with manslaughter or something like that. She gets probation. But her office, what's her name? Angela Corey. Her office was determined to put this young boy away for the rest of his life. The very night that they arrested him, they placed him in a cell with adults.
With adults.
A 12-year, cute little boy. Cute little boy. 12 years old.
And that was clearly playing. It was an accident if anything happened. And so
yes.
Him nor the mother should have been arrested. And then
right.
Could you just give us just like his background, like what this boy had.
Oh, okay. Looking into his background.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, the little boy. First of all, his mother had him when she was 13, I believe, from a rape. So you know how that life was, her bringing him up, trying to bring him up. She's a child.
Mm-hmm.
She had the baby as a result of the rape.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was in and out of abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying the feelings that she might have had towards him.
Oh, right, exactly.
She may have,
exactly.
She pretty much wanted to just disown him anyway. And so he may not have been given the love and care
that he really needed.
Receive.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have that.
Right.
Right. So, the woman, the mother was in and out of abusive relationships. And one of the abusive relationships, the young boy, Fernando, was molested by one of her boyfriends. That is, I don't know. I just, tears just rolled down my face when I read that, because I can just feel his pain from just a few short 12 years. He's been through all of that, you know?
Right.
So, to be accused of murder and have you...
Didn't you
oh, 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 yes, he witnesses his, maybe not his father, but just one of her friends, one of her boyfriends, she witnessed him commit suicide right in front of him, right in front of the children.
Right.
Yes.
Blowing their brains out in front of his baby.
Right.
So he'd already been traumatized. He already. And that's what I say sometimes. You know, some of these children, they just don't have a chance with the parents that they have. And it's really, really sad because the parents were in need of help.
Yes. Right.
You know, and
she obviously was in need of help.
That's right. And that was the whole plan when these drugs were dumped in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Destroy the family, pull the man out the house, separate them, pay the woman more, keep the man unemployed, keep him frustrated, take away his manhood in that way, cause friction with the woman. He's not in the house. Oh, we'll tell her we'll give her a welfare check and WIC and this and that. You know, all these ideas. They just
take care of all the children.
Yes.
So they'll be fed, da-da-da. But they're growing up without the fatherly figure.
Right. And then I was looking on Twitter today and some idiot was talking about, you know, we need to adjust. It must have been somebody else, not a melanated person. Y'all need to address black crime and fathers not being in the home. I'm like, you know what? Y'all crazy. Whatever. Nobody ever wants to talk about how you take our fathers out of the home, how you force them out of the home. Not like they didn't want to be there, like they're not just there. Hell, mother and father. Go back to our history and see man and woman always.
Exactly. Yeah, the family was always important.
So whatever, you know. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic there. But right before we go to break, I was listening to Abolitionist Radio before we came on, and the brothers were talking about how the prison stock has gone down. They have like a 52-week drop in their stock price, and so for the 52nd week. So the shares were $35.05, but they have dropped down to $15.93.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
That comes from the work of people actually doing something, not just hitting their keyboard about, that's messed up how they do them. And moving on to the next thing. Actually being out there, doing the footwork, keeping people informed, finding out what's going on. In Geo Prison, their stock was $35.14, and it's down to $20.04.
Wow.
I'm very familiar with Geo Prisons because the Geo company, they're going around the whole country. I think Geo is out of Florida, I think. But they're going around the whole country just privatizing every damn thing, from universities to whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Were they the ones privatizing Pleasant, what is that school, Pleasant View or something?
Oh, Prairie View, yes.
Prairie View? Were they the ones privatizing them?
Yes. Yes, so they go all around just trying to privatize all services, particularly like the state agencies and just whatever they can privatize and take over, pay people less money, don't provide proper health care. Like now with some of these, since these private prison investments have come into play, you don't have qualified doctors and nurses in some of these prisons. In fact, I was listening to somebody, I was reading it somewhere, something. You know, all this stuff comes in my head. You know how I am. All of this stuff just comes to me some kind of way. But reading and I read it, watch a video of somebody talking about it or something. I'm listening to somebody on the radio or something. And I just forget sometimes where I got that piece of information from. But anyway, so there was an LPN. A brand new LPN was the only medical staff at one time, during this one shift, I believe, at this one particular prison. And that's crazy. That's crazy. So if something happens, somebody is stabbed or whatever, I mean, who is that? A brand new LPN?
Wow.
Have a reaction to medicine, have some bad food, because all the food is bad.
All of it.
I remember in those prisons in Alabama, they had somehow released a video. You know how they figure out how to do all kinds of things. My brothers and sisters are so creative. Anyway, so we just don't stop wherever we are. It doesn't matter. But they had snuck the phone out, honey, got the phone out to the public, and was showing the food that they were forced to eat. The meat was like greenish looking, and
I remember that.
Yeah, just horrible. You know, what's his name? The young man, what's his name? Come on, the one that filmed Eric Garner being choked to death. Can't call his name right now.
But me either.
He's been back to Rutgers, right? He's been
My gosh.
Yes, and you know, he had said before when he was in prison, they were trying to kill him by putting rat pellets in his food portion. So, I just don't know what to say. I mean, I just really don't. I'm just so glad also that their little prison stock is going down. That's one thing I can say.
Me too. That's wonderful news.
Not realistic. So, Angela Corey and what's her name? Anita Alvarez up in Chicago. Bye, Felicia. And it was some other prosecutor. I can't remember what city he was in, but he wasn't reelected. So I will say the local politics really do count. And I do go and vote in the local elections. But we really don't have a decision in terms of like the president and all of that. But
oh, no, that's already been decided.
Yeah, just school board and all that. Definitely go cast your vote for who you want to come up with policies for your children, for sure.
Right. Ramsey Order was the guy's name.
That's right, Ramsey Order. Ramsey Order. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. On point. So we'll come back after our break, and we'll get more into our topics and further light. I know you have a mind, body, and spirit for us also. Did you have a poem or anything that you were going to share with us?
Yeah, when we come back.
Okay, so when we come back from break then, we'll hear a poem from Southern Light. And
actually,
it's, Okay, we'll hear a poem and we'll get into our hot topics tonight. Colin Kaepernick and what the hell happened with Chris Brown and this 9-hour standoff with Becky with the bad grades. Oh. And also, on yesterday, we celebrated the Earth Day of a, magnificent revolutionary, brave, brilliant Fred Hampton. Yesterday was his birthday, and that's another.
Yesterday was his birthday.
Yeah, yesterday was his birthday. He was born August 30th, in 1948, and that's another reason why Black August is so significant. This is his birthday month. You know, we spoke on Garvey's birthday month. So August is a very, very, very significant month for us in the Black community. So I want to say happy birthday to Fred Hampton. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place. You can call in and share your thoughts and comments on Colin Kaepernick. And if you have anything you want to share about Chris Brown, if you want to talk about Chris Brown, like I said, normally I wouldn't even be thinking about Chris Brown, but since the brother came out and made that statement, I'm like, what do you guys think about that? And we also want to talk about, we're going to get into the story with the 84-year-old grandmother, too. This is crazy. The 84-year-old woman being pepper sprayed. That's just crazy. crazy, crazy, crazy. And this little girl named Bree, I think Breesha, she's 15, just turned 15 while incarcerated. Shot her father because he was shot and killed him because he was abusive, had been abusive to the entire family, is what the family and this young girl says. But his family says that they shot him in cold blood because they shot him in his sleep. So I want to hear from y'all on that. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. If a person feels that they're defending themselves or defending their family, or defending people in the home, period, is it cold, calculated murder, premeditated murder, if you kill that person in their sleep, but they've been, like, abusing the whole family? Or do you always need to just wait until the act is being committed so that you may not be prosecuted for what some may call standing your ground? You were in fear for your life. Hell, police say it all the time. I was in fear for my life. I don't care if the person has four fingers on one hand and two on the other hand. They still say I was in fear for my life. Somebody had, I don't even know, because he don't have no hands or legs. I don't know what he was going to do to me. Well, I shot
had
him.
No idea.
Look, shot I don't know what he was going to do to me, so I just shot him. It sounded like some let's say. All right, we'll be right back. You listen to the Lotus Play.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Truly in me.
DoggyDiamondsTV.com. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Doggy Diamonds for DoggyDiamondsTV.com, the only official website of Doggy Diamonds. San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refused to stand up during the playing of the national anthem. He's receiving a lot of criticism, a lot of backlash. This is what he had to say. I'm not going to stand up to show pride in the flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. Now, he has a lot of supporters in the black community. A lot of us is happy that somebody finally took a stand and said something what we all been saying, what we all been trying to say. But he's also receiving a lot of backlash and a lot of hate. A lot of people are calling him nigger. They're calling him all types of shit, wishing that he gets injured, wishing that he gets hurt because he took a stand for his beliefs. It's kind of crazy out here. So what I did was I compiled some of the tweets that I saw out there, what they were saying to him. Check this shit out. This shit is crazy, man. You know, and we so-called live in a country that's free, and freedom of speech is one of them. And I don't even care if people say they dislike me. But if somebody take a stand for what they believe in, I can't get mad at what they take a stand in, even if I disagree with it. I could just rebut, but I don't have to wish death, and I don't have to wish harm to them. I could just not fuck with them or not support them anymore. So just look at these tweets. These tweets is kind of crazy. Peace. Make sure you subscribe to this channel.
Right. So that's a story on Colin Kaepernick. And oh my God, he's been calling him all kind of N-words and go back here and there. You know how I love to say go back here and go back there. And just, oh my goodness, just vicious style language. I mean, he was just mad.
mad. I mean, more than mad. You're irate. You are just blood red. Truly.
Wow.
Yeah. So, let me.
But you know, it's odd how these people are so angry with what he has said. But listen to some of the things that Trump has said about this country. I mean, he said some pretty ugly things about the country. But let it come from a black man. Like when Michelle Obama, the first year, said, "I've never been so proud." Man, they ran her through the mud about that little statement. "I've never been so proud to be an American." Something of the sort.
Yeah, if someone else had said that, then it would have been perfectly fine. "Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Oh, that's just so great that she said that, blah, blah, blah." But
yes, right.
But I want you to go ahead on and read your poem so we can get into our topic for tonight.
Okay, I really have just a couple of one-liners. Yes, by our poet Wasan Shiree.
Okay.
Yeah, I just liked her one-liners because I didn't finish the last time. Okay, so here we go. "I'm lonely, so I do lonely things. Loving you was like going to war. I never came back the same. I stay because you're the beginning of the dream I want to remember. I didn't call him back because he likes his girls voiceless. It's not that he wants to be a liar. It's just that he doesn't know the truth. I couldn't love you. You were a small war. Have you ever been with somebody that was just like a war? Being with them was like a war. You're constantly battling."
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep, definitely.
"I was still lonely, so I did even lonelier things." Mm-hmm. No, he loves me. He just makes me cry a lot. He loves me. He just makes me cry a lot. He knows all of my secrets and still wants to kiss me. You were too cruel to love for a long time. I cut him out at the root. He was my favorite tree, rotting, threatening the foundations of my home. I had to leave. I felt lonely when he held me. I'm a lover without a lover. Forgive me, I was lonely, so I chose you. The women in my family die waiting. Yes, I'm insecure, but so was my mother and her mother and her mother. I was still lonely, so I did even lonelier things. You are a horse running alone. And he tries to tame you, compares you to an impossible highway, compares you to a burning house, says you are blinding him, that he can never leave you, forget you, want anything but you. You dizzy him, you are unbearable. Every woman before or after you is doused in your name. You fill his mouth. His teeth ache with the memory of taste. His body just a long shadow seeking yours. But you are always too intense, frightening in the way that you want him, unashamed and sacrificial."
Namaste. Oh. Namaste. Oh my goodness, what moving quote. Jeez. And that's what's the poet's name again?
Wassam Shari. The right. One who did the poems, the poetry for Beyonce's Lemonade.
Beyonce's Lemonade, right. Mm. Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay. Hey, look, let me welcome in King. I see King B on the line. Hey, King B, you still there?
Yes, I am.
What's up, King B? How you doing?
Oh, I am fine. How's everybody doing?
Hi, King B.
Hey.
Pretty good, King B. I want to hear your thoughts, too, on some of these topics and give us an update on what you've been doing up there with the young brother. But before we get into that, though, I want to see if Scotty is there, because I want Scotty to talk about the new social media platform, King B, that you need to sign up for, because I am actually getting ready to sign up for it right now. As soon as Scotty talks about it, I'm going to
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's okay tonight.
Hey, Scotty, thank you so much. I meant to see if you were there earlier, because I didn't want to hold you up. I know you're so busy. Such a marvelous young man, and just getting these things moving and going with Black Talk Radio Network and its social media platform. And if you don't mind, just share with us how people can join, what it is, and what we need to do, because I'm getting ready to do all of it right now to show people how quick it is.
Okay. I appreciate that. Well, what it is it's a alternative to Facebook for Black people. I don't know if people know it or not, but the Color of Change, along with some other organizations, put out a petition at calling out Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook for censoring content, and particularly Korean, what was the young lady's name, Korean Games?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Censoring her content as well. And we all know, any of us, I was on Facebook since the beginning. And so we all have been put in Facebook jail. Everybody know what Facebook jail is if you've been spending any time on there. You know, just a lot of censoring of content that other people determine to be controversial, or they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want other people to talk about it. And so, but then also another issue with Facebook that some other organizations have pointed out, some the civil liberty organizations, about they're spying on their own users for profit, you know, digging into their private messaging to see what people are talking about, and they claim that this is so that they can deliver better advertisement to their users, you know, match them up with ads based on whatever they're talking about. You know, not only is it now your keywords and the stuff you're talking about, or cookies from websites you visited, now it's going to be, this is all has been published. Okay, this was a discussion that the Zuckerberg had with the board members. So this is all public, and civil liberties organizations, watchdog groups have all talked about that. So that's the problem. That's the problem that people know exists on the world's most popular social media platform. Now, since we know these problems, well, we always won't try to find a solution. So the simple solution to me was the simple solution I found when my voice was censored and other Black content was censored on Blog Talk Radio, for those who know what that platform is. Well, when that happened, what was the solution to censorship of Black Talk Radio on Blog Talk? To create Black Talk. So what is the solution to the Facebook? Well, now we have launched BTR Community. Now, so that we don't have to rely. Now, questions have been asked. Why should I pay for it? Why should I pay a subscription? Number one, the subscription is very low. It's less than a newspaper that you might get out of a machine outside of a convenience store. 50 cents a week. Right. You can get a subscription for $24 a year, and that come out to 50 cents a week, basically. Maybe even less than 50 cents a week, but it's $2 a month. And so we know from the study, well, I know particularly because I pay attention to media and the trends in the industry, So I know that Facebook and other social, Twitter was mentioned, other social media is where people turn to for information. A lot of people go to Facebook, go to Twitter to find out what's going on. And then the mainstream media, when something goes viral, then they're forced to cover it, but then they're going to put their spin on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say that again, because I was too busy talking and agreeing with you, because people just don't understand the power of our voice and social media when we use it in the way that we have used it, which they never thought that we would use it like this. They thought we were just trying to hook up and all, but we hooking up, but just not only the way you thought we were going to hook up. So,
right, yes.
Pardon me, Scotty. So could you just say that part again? That's very, very important and key.
Well, if I remember the last part, I was just saying how people turn to social media now more than they turn to the corporate platforms for their news. They get the news from their neighbors. That's why we're going to Facebook. We're on. That's an online community. So we're looking to see what our friends, our associates, people, the Facebook connections we have made to see what they're posting. Same thing on Twitter. Twitter has more black users than anybody. Nobody uses Twitter like black Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
That's my news, part of my news in the morning.
But we have also pointed out how there's a lack of diversity on in their workforce, haven't we? So all most of this money, that billions of dollars being generated on in social media, is basically off of black people, black bodies again, profiting off of black bodies. So how can we? So now, since you know they have no shortage of money, they can turn to investors and stuff like that. But then we know who provides the money or who pays the piper, names the tune. So if they don't want certain things said or what have you, then they will censor that content. So this is a way for us to build from the ground up. Social media, something we use more than anybody else, and use it effectively, not just for foolishness, but this social media has been used as an organizing tool. And somebody sent me an article that I published about black consciousness, and I published it in the blog section of blacktalkradionetwork.com. And not only did this person mention social media and why don't we build our own, I'm not aware if they know about BTR community yet, but this is something we've said, many of us have said in the past. But he mentioned COINTELPRO. Now, I'm guilty of this myself, organizing on social media, organizing on Zuckerberg's platform and the white people that own Twitter. And then knowing that law enforcement trolls those platforms, they have been given access to those platforms and just, you know, the cooperation. So, you know, how can we organize a revolution or organize anything on the enemy's platform when he's seeing who our connections is, he know who's in our little circles, he knows our phone numbers, he knows all of this, because it's his platform, he's God. He has access to all of it. So again, how wise is it from a activist standpoint to organize anything on their platform? Now, I'm not saying we should abandon their platforms. We should use every opportunity to use the enemy's resources. But if we're talking about serious organizing, how much sense does it make for us to be organizing on the platforms that we know are partner with the state? So that just doesn't make logical sense, and I never really thought about it from the security aspect before. So now I'm getting to the question of why does it cost $1 a week or $5 a month or just $24 a year? Well, because I'm not going to find venture capitalists to invest in something that's going to liberate us and a project that is really focused on building a black communications network independent of the other radio stations, television stations. Everything is like through mobile phones and tablets. Everybody is connected. So what you're doing is helping to fund a media revolution for just $2 a year.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
And it's not, and as more,
powerful.
As we get more subscribers, Well, y'all might say, well, Facebook, I can do live streaming. I can't do that on BTR right now. Well, as we get more people, that provides more resources for us to deploy those resources, which costs money to do that live streaming, right. to hire technicians right. who are more knowledgeable about these things than myself. You know, and so it is a way for us to create jobs. It's a way for us to create information hubs on a community basis. It is not just about us being on this one central location on the internet, but spreading Black Talk Radio, which just simply means means of communications to individual local communities, so that local voices can talk about local issues. And that's empowering when you don't have other people filtering our voices. So you just funding a revolution. That's all you doing.
Yes, I like that. I'm definitely in on it.
And so basically, this is the reason why we need to go ahead on and subscribe. And I'm actually at PayPal now, Scotty. So if people just go on.
Go to btrcommunity.com. You'll see a toolbar that says registration. Click on registration. It will give you information about the Black Talk Media Project and why we're doing this and what the money's going to go for and why you should consider taking out a subscription. And then it gives you three different subscription options through PayPal. And you don't even have to set up a PayPal account. And you could just use any kind of credit card, debit card, it will accept it. And for those, and we have had some who do not prefer, you know, doing things over the internet, and they can send a check or money order made out to Black Talk Media Project, and it has our address right there on their page.
It's just as simple as that, guys. Very, very simple. So, look, I'm stalling because PayPal, you know how PayPal is always acting so silly. It's always giving you a lot of trouble sometimes, but you just go ahead on and work through it. So, but hey, if you don't have a PayPal account like you said, then you could just simply either send a check in, maybe you pay some of your bills online, just use your credit card or whatever. Whatever you do, just be sure you go online to Black Talk Radio Network and sign up right there on the right-hand side of the page. I'm looking at it right now. And you can order your T-shirt, Black Radio Stations Matter, and then scroll on down and sign up. BTR Community, a new online Black social experience. Yes, hey. I'm loving it. And so, like, you've already registered, right?
Yes, I have. That's Feather Life.
Yes, that's Feather Life. So I will look for you. I will look for you in the whirlwind once I'm there. Yes. So anyway, thank you so much, Scotty. We really, really appreciate you sharing that. Wait a minute, I have to try to get this.
Well, thank you. I love talking about the work that we are collectively engaged in.
Yes, it's work that is truly needed. And I like the way you put that, whereas, like,
me too.
You don't have to just, like, abandon Facebook, because people have built up relationships and friends through Facebook. And like you said, we could use that to continue communicating. But this is just an alternative. And, like, I'm so glad you mentioned that Facebook jail. Some people may not be familiar with Facebook jail. But Facebook jail is what happens when we started calling it Facebook jail. I don't know how or when, but I know it's like if you post something and Facebook wants to censor it, you know, as if we're in China or Iran or North Korea or something, always talking about North Korea and Iran and all this, but right on your little Facebook there and Twitter. And I think I've even began to hear people complain a little bit about Instagram, perhaps. But anyway, if Facebook doesn't approve that, because I'm also, like, in a few groups as an administrator, and, I mean, I can't even count how many times weekly something comes back saying I have to, like, Facebook,
noticed something or whatever, whatever. It doesn't approve of Facebook page and all this old silly mess, and they want to page and all of this and this, this, and that. But even like on my personal Facebook page that I had before Facebook shut it down, I would always receive these messages about, you know, this wasn't approved by Facebook standards or whatever, and you can't use Facebook for X amount of days. You know, they have a nerve to like have different days based on the violation. A week, 30 days. You know?
Yes.
What the hell is this crap? You know what I'm saying? First of all, this is my so-called page, I thought, and you making money off me being on this stupid-ass page. And then, yeah, they're going to put me in a so-called Facebook jail, prohibit me from going on to my social media page that I signed up, that you making money off of me with. What the hell is going on up in here?
Whatever.
But you want to revoke my privilege? What kind of shit is that? Like,
white supremacy.
Man, is that what it's called? Well, honey, let me tell you something. I am so not with that, because you can just move along with that foolery, because I'm not even trying to hear none of that silly mess. But look, King B, I know that you will probably have to leave us, and you've been holding on with us. You have been working on a case there, up there in New York City. Oh, Lord have mercy. New York has always been promoted as such a liberal place, but you guys do more killing crime up there than Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, a real fallacy, and it's time that black people snap out of this, I call it Rip Van Winkle mood, and be fully aware that if they want to crowd as far as a gang up on you, and if you don't have the right lawyer to get you off the hook, your behind is going straight to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to visit yesterday the name of Marcel Dockery, an 18-year-old young black man that lived in the housing projects out there in Coney Island, was accused, tried, and convicted of setting a match on fire that the smoke from the mattress caused a police officer who, like a fool, went up on the floor with the mattress burning rather than stay in his lane and let a fireman go up on the floor where the mattress was burning. What was he supposed to have done to put the mattress out? He didn't have a fire extinguisher. He didn't have a mask on to withstand the smoke poisoning. All he had was his pistol. All his partner had was her pistol. She survived. He was overwhelmed with the smoke poisoning from the mattress. They got Darcel in a room where he's isolated. No legal advisor before he is...
What?
Yeah, he is allowed to incriminate himself. It's the same thing that happened to the Central Park joggers defendants. They were held for hours, and then when the report came that there was a white woman named Patricia Smealy found butt naked in a pool of 4 pints of blood in mud, they got these boys to admit that they did this dastardly act to Patricia Smealy, and it was a few years later, the real rapist and attacker of Patricia Mealy came out and said, and he was already incarcerated. He said, yeah, I did it. And the media was in a feeding frenzy, didn't want to listen to these boys. The mothers of these boys even asked the black community, please stand by our sons. They're innocent of the charges. Please don't believe what you're hearing. But no, what did we do? The white man said so, as Richard Pryor once said. White men said so, must be true. So, move on up to Marcel Dockery. He told me, and he was looking in my eyes, never lost contact with my eyes, eyeball to eyeball, indicated to me he was telling the truth about his situation. He said, when he got on the floor where his blood relatives live there, his blood relatives live, he said the mattress is already burning. He is trying to alert people on that floor that the mattress is burning. They got the police use him as the stool pigeon to say that he did it, and that offered him pizza, gave him pizza and soda because he was hungry and he was tired and didn't know that he was being manipulated with the psychological game that the police play on these young black boys and women. But they basically want young black boys to put them away. And when I got to the prison, I'm telling you all, the downstate correctional facility, the way they have those inmates housed, even when they're greeting their loved ones in a room that has no air conditioning, no effective fan, you're depending on one or two fans that it's not even blowing your way. It's blowing on the officers who's overseeing who is doing what in the room. Nothing is blowing the way of the inmates. And he told me that in his dorm, you have no fan, and definitely don't have any air conditioning. So now, Darcell, the jurors believe that, check this out now, the jurors believe that he was remorseful and that it was an accident, but he said, Darcell said, what would be the motive for him to have caused a fire on the same floor that his blood relatives lives? And because he didn't have a lawyer that was a decent social engineer, he had an incompetent social parasite who was provided by the League of these free crackerjacks lawyers. Just take your case for 2 minutes and then you're ready to go to trial and don't even study your case. So he said there was no motive that he could have had to want to have start a fire with a mattress on the floor where his blood relatives live. So now he has to now get an appeal while he's further going to be sent further upstate. He's sentenced by an Uncle Tom Korean judge, the same judge who let the Chinese killer cop who shot this young man named Gurney in the hallway stairwell in Brooklyn on the out in the east of Brooklyn, shot this young man Gurney, father of a child, young child, and let the young man bleed to death while he's on the phone talking to the union, police union, how he can save his job. Yeah.
Hold on, Francis. So, you're talking about what's his name, Lean? The Kai Gurley.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
I just said the same judge that presided over that Chinese killer cop, who let the Chinese killer cop go, and the DA went behind the family's back and betrayed the family by saying, "Oh, he didn't want this cop to go to jail. It was an accident. He didn't mean for it to happen. He recommended he get maybe a community time or house arrest."
Right. So, Candy, we need to take a break, and I want to come back with that story, but I know Southern Light has a story she needs to share also. So just hold that, Candy, because I want to hear some more updates about that young man. But let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Lewis Place. And guess what? We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Hey.
can call in and share your thoughts on our topics for tonight, which we're talking about any and everything, but we're really kind of focusing on this whole controversy around Colin Kaepernick and him not standing up for the Star Spangled Banner. If you listen to those lyrics, I wonder why do people complain about that? Because that is one hell of a gangster song. So,
it really is.
Right. So, Shazalot, you have a few stories to share with us? In your opinion,
yes,
on this Colin Kaepernick deal and Chris Brown.
Okay. All right. First, I wanted to share this story about an elderly woman, 84-year-old woman, was tasered in her own home this month, August 7th. This is what happened, and she was directly tasered. It's on video. First thing I heard was, okay, she was in the middle of something, and then she kind of got in the way, and then they, you know, she got tasered. She was near the taser, but it clearly shows. The police woman just says, "I'm going to taser you," and she does.
So why are the police in the house in the first place? Like, walk
okay.
through like
so,
what happened with this story for people that may not
yes,
be familiar with it.
I'm going to. Okay, so this a 56-year-old man who the police claim ran a stoplight refused to pull over after they. I don't know if they put the siren on, the police alarm on, but they just said, this is what the police claim, that he ran a stoplight. He refused to stop while they were pursuing him. They followed him to his home. He went into his home. They went in, knocked on the door, ordered him to come out. Now, all of this is for stop running a stop sign. I did not say a red light, I said a stop sign, and it was quite late. I can count on my hands and probably run out of fingers how many times I just kind of came up to the stop sign, did a little pause, looked both ways, it's 10:30 at night or whatever, nobody's coming, I go on. That's probably what he did, but this is a stop sign run. So the police, it's about four of them, it shows in the video, after stop sign check, and they're banging on the door. They want him to open up the door. And then they physically kick in the door with their feet. Bam! So the mother is 84 years old. The son is 57. She's not his grandmother. She's a mother. So this is obviously kind of early. She is awake with all the noise. The police come in, they point the gun at the guy, and he holds up his hands and says, "I didn't do anything. I don't have anything. I didn't do anything. I don't have anything." And they say to him, "Come here." They're in his house, but they say, "Come here. Come here." He's scared to death, I'm sure, and he's just holding up his hands. "I didn't do anything. I don't have anything." And then they tasered him. He fell to the floor, and then the mother is looking at all of this, and she's, you know, yelling and trying to figure out what's going on. And so the woman cop orders her to turn around. Now, why she has to turn around, I don't know. Maybe there's something that she's not supposed to see. I don't know. She's not being arrested, so why does she have to turn around? And so the mother does not immediately turn around. And so there's 40 seconds that pass from the time they say turn around to she says, "I'm going to pepper spray you," and she puts it right in her face, and the 84-year-old woman falls to the ground, and she pleads, she says, my eyes, and she says, "Oh Lord Jesus, help me, help me." They handcuff her. As she's on the floor, 84-year-old woman has been tasered, pepper sprayed, and they handcuffed her. They put the handcuffs put her hands behind. Can you imagine how that felt? She is about 4'9", maybe. And they handcuffed her, put the handcuffs on her behind the back. They had to take her to the hospital because of the injuries. Now, I saw two versions of the video. And I need to find the first version, because most videos that you see of this, mm-hmm. it starts out with them saying, open the door, and then they kick in the door, and you mm-hmm. see the rest. But this one time I saw this one video, I see this guy pull up in the driveway. He gets out of his car. He walks up two steps. He walks to the door, and he goes in. Then moments later, I see this police car pull up in the driveway, and the cops get out and run to the door, and I'm thinking, oh, is this the video?
And I think that's how the whole incident with Marley Graham occurred, too, I believe. Cops chased him into his home and chased him up to the bathroom and shot him.
Yes.
In front of his family in his home. What kind of stuff is this?
Hello?
Let me finish this one thing. The guy said that when they said, open up, he said he didn't even know who they were. So he may not have even known that they were even after him. He did one of these little pause things, kept going, and then just kept on going home. And they followed him. They followed him to his home. Go ahead, King B.
You see, we keep forgetting the police force sees black people as defenseless slaves, that they have the right to brutalize you, to disrespect you, no matter how old you are. They feel that they can get away with even cold-blooded murder. A plain undercover cop shot a brother named Shim Walker back on the block from where I live. The brother said to this cop, Shim Walker said to this cop three times, get off my mother's stoop. I don't like drug dealers on my mother's stoop. His mother is an amputee. Shim would drive down faithfully from Connecticut to check on his mother's stoop to make sure that there was no drug dealers on his mother's stoop. On that fateful Saturday, the early evening, he's seeing this young man. He tells him, get off my mother's stoop. He suspects that he's a drug dealer. Now, if the cop didn't want to show his shield, he could have just walked away. You hear a man say, get off my mother's stoop. I don't like drug dealers on my mother's stoop. That should click in his mind. This is a good guy.
Exactly.
He could have just walked away. But no, he let Shim to believe that this is a wise guy who wanted a demo. So after the third time, Shim tells this undercover cop, so he thought was a drug dealer, to get off my mother's stoop. He thinks this guy wants a demo, so he tries to remove, so he thought this drug dealer. The cop pulls out his gun and shoots Shim point blank range in the chest. Killing him instantly. I went to the funeral. Guess who preached the eulogy? Sharpton.
Mm-hmm.
The body is on display for the whole service. Sharpton talking about.
Hold on, King B, because we're getting off the topic and we don't have a lot of time left.
All right. Okay. Well, out of that, we have no rights that a white man need respect, stemming from the days of the decision of Chief Justice Raymond Taney, and
feels that they need to respect.
Yeah.
So this 84-year-old grandmother. Let's get back to this story here. So, finish giving us the details on that satellite.
Well, she's the mother.
Call her grandmother. But she's 84,
yes.
Right?
Right. She may be somebody's grandmother. I don't know. But
yes,
the son.
But she's a senior. She's a senior.
Yes.
And I just want to make the point that our people are being attacked. It's not just our black men. It's not just the young ones.
Right.
We have
exactly.
We have our fathers, uncles. We have seniors being attacked. We have senior males, senior women being attacked. They take a teenager and fling her across the grass in a bathing suit and push her face all up into your groin and slamming her head down like you're on some type of sexual fantasy or something like that. Like you must be on drugs. That man should have been drug tested immediately for what he did to the little girl in McKinley, Texas, at that pool party.
Yes.
And so they attack our children. They attack. It does not matter. Now this is an 84 year old woman. That's a granny age. My grandmother's 80 something, and you pepper spray her. You coming up in the house? But wait a minute. Let's go back to the fact that first of all, why did they chase him into the house? Because he did what?
He ran a stop sign.
And you're discussing, and I actually have a clip of the video. People can pull this up on YouTube. I'll just play the first beginning of this because you can still hear what's taking place. But I actually read a story. You're talking about the discrepancies between the videos. I read a couple of articles on this whole incident, and one report said the man darted into the house.
Yes. Darted.
Darted.
Ooh, how are you going to see somebody? Yes. The wording.
Exactly. This was,
subconsciously, this man is already guilty. Subconsciously, the police are doing their job. So, you know, this is this mind thing. This is this mind thing that the media does. Again, how powerful the media is in our thinking.
This whole wording, and that's what Dr. Neely Fuller Jr. speaks about, the wording, how these people use specific words. He into the house. No, he walked into his house, and you.
He did. I saw him. Yes.
At the stop sign today. I mean, I really did.
Right.
Because
now look at
they'll run into the back of you if you
you don't move fast enough.
I've had someone run into the back of me, rear end me, because I actually stopped, like merging onto the beltway. You know, these people here in Houston, they crazy. You better know how to whip your whip. If you don't, they will roll you over here. But anyway, go ahead. I just have to get that in.
What city was this in?
Oklahoma, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Now check this out. The Washington Post, this is how they describe their headline of this incident. A man broke the law, then, a capital T, then police pepper sprayed 84-year-old woman. That's the Washington Post. Now, this is an independent newspaper. It says, police pepper spray 84-year-old black woman in her home. Notice the difference in how they are delivering the news, the impact they want the readers to get. The first one starts out with, a man broke the law. Negative. A man broke the law. Then, you know, the police had to do what they had to do. They pepper sprayed one. But the other one says, police pepper spray 84-year-old black woman in her home. She's in her home.
Yeah.
She has a right to be confused, frightened, upset. All of that. And all of that. Can you imagine all that she has seen in her 84 years? All that she has had to witness and experience?
Sure.
And here they come in her house disrespecting her like they were, hollering at her, tasering her son when he's got his arms up.
It happens.
And the
pretty much the same thing happened with in the house with Ariana. What's her name? Ariana up there in Detroit, in the Detroit area. Ariana, when the cops came in, they were filming and all of that for that show, and shot that baby in the head.
She was seven.
While she was asleep. Yes. With her
grandmother
on herself, and the cop lied. He lied.
Yes. Yes.
No remorse whatsoever.
Nope.
The least
you can
say is, we made a mistake. Exactly.
We know you rogue and that was wrong and you know it, like your grandmother told me. But anyway, so this whole situation. So I heard that some people are organizing to help this family and to move forward with this in some form, where she's, I think, suing, right? She's suing the city? Yes. Yes, she is suing the city. Good. She is suing the city. Good.
That's
horrible. She could have had a heart attack. She's 80.
Easily.
Easily.
Hey, that happened to a woman named Alberta Spool. Police use a kind of bomb they use, and the woman was having chest pains. They were teasing her, you know, right? They were in the wrong house anyway, and she's complaining while she's handcuffed to a chair. I'm having pains in my chest. I said, "Oh, stop it! You're gonna be all right. All right." She collapsed, died from a heart attack, and nothing ever happened. They named a bus stop after her name under former Mayor Bloomberg, but there was no arrest, no indictments. But like I said, it's our people's fault for allowing these weak, clueless misleaders to misrepresent us, and they ingratiate themselves with these white supremacist oligarchs that can care less about justice for our people when we are abused. Now, imagine a black cop busting into a white home, putting...
I can't.
Pepper spray and an 84-year-old white woman.
Not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. So if that's a given,
he would be what is it? He wouldn't have that death duty crap. They would have his ass at home with no pay.
No. How about a rope? How about a rope to give him a lynching quick, because they would follow him to his house. It would be a race war. There would be a race war.
Yeah, I noticed there in that place. There have been so many reports of how black officers have even spoken about how they fear for their lives and how they've been pulled over. But let's get on to this Colin Kaepernick whole situation also, because we need to stay on top of that story with their grandma, so we could go all night about that for real. Because I just tell you, it could be my granny. But they're working through it, and I think that that's something that we need to do, is have people in place when something like that happens.
Right, exactly.
You have, bam, this is a support system, and this is the next step.
Right, because they actually charged her with a resisting arrest.
They charged her. Oh, wait a minute, that's right, I'm supposed to play the clip. Hold on, let's see. Let me look at this clip, guys. Let me hear what you guys think about this whole Colin Kaepernick deal. So the brother doesn't want to stand up. He's kind of cute too. I like him with his haircut too. I was looking at some pictures, like just going through the research. I said, "Well, you go ahead." They call him all kind of N words and everything. So,
let's hope that he doesn't capitulate and do a, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean no harm."
I hope not. But let's just let people know who this Colin Rand Kaepernick is. He was born November 3rd, 1987. Young boy is an American football quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers of the NFL. He played college football in Nevada and was drafted by the 49ers in the second round of the 2011 NFL draft. At Nevada, he was twice named the Western Athletic Offensive Player of the Year, and he was the most valuable player of the 2008 Humanitarian Bowl. He was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to Heidi Zambransky Russo,
a 19-year-old white woman who was single and destitute at the time. That means she was on meth. Anyway, his birth father, I don't know what she was. Let me not say that about that young man's mother. But you know how these reports like to gloss over what's going on in the white community with these children being strung out on meth. But that just sounds like to me, you know, maybe there was some issue. His birth father, an African-American, left before he was born. Russo placed her son for adoption with Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white couple who had two children, blah, blah, blah. And they were looking for a boy after they lost their other son to heart defect. Oh, that's sad. And Kaepernick joined his family. So then it looks like they moved on to California. So anyway, Kaepernick is saying that he's not trying to be standing up there for that national anthem because he feels that this whole flag and this nation is disrespectful to black people and African Americans and people of color. And I just really applaud him for that because we've been saying that people need to speak up and say something about what's going on, these people that have a platform. I did hear that Beyonce had like 1 minute of silence at one of her concerts.
Mm-hmm.
All the names, many names of people that have been killed through all this police violence went across the screen, was displayed across the screen in such a beautiful way, and she invited the mothers of the movement to the VMA Awards, where she did a fabulous performance. Again, seeing that, check out that chick on there. But this whole deal with Colin Kaepernick, like I said, never heard of him prior to this, but I just commend him for standing up.
Amen.
And I know
Amen.
That there was this spin in the media about like trying to turn veterans against him by saying, I guess he disrespected veterans and all of this. And veterans started a hashtag saying veterans support Kaepernick. So, you know, people like, people are awakening. People are becoming aware. People are becoming conscious.
Don't forget now, it was a veteran that shot those cops in Louisiana. And that a lot of these black veterans are coming back very much turned off to the brainwashing that they went through, and they see the real lies that they were forced to accept. Now they see the real deal, so they're coming back very angry.
Mm-hmm.
and they can shoot straight.
Mm.
So the idea that this how you pronounce the name? Pasternak.
Kaepernick.
Yeah. Whatever he has the right to have freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a black man who's able to think for himself, who's not just consider himself a gladiator, mm-hmm. a sports gladiator,
mm-hmm.
He is going to be given the negativity, and they'll find some Uncle Tom to sanction putting him down. But
and Uncle Tom was found because Jerry Rice, who I believe also, Jerry Rice used to play for the 49ers. Jerry Rice, you know, he came out saying some old coon stuff people were saying. But, I mean, we already knew that was going to happen. That's the standard play. Look, let me yawn. Oh, I'm so bored with these people like, what's the other big bald headed goofy one? Giving him a show now. You know who I'm talking about. Up there in, Arizona, whatever. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley.
Uh-oh.
You know, Charles Barkley, he's always swinging and butt jumping and
camping. Oh, yeah, she's a big one.
Right. So, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on it? And I want to share the words to this Star Spangled Banner. Do you have them up?
Mm-hmm, I do, as a matter of fact. Okay, so this is the third verse, which mostly is not sung, but it is of the national anthem. And if you read and study, we know this. So here it goes. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more. Now here comes the part that refers to African enslaved. Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps pollution. That's kind of hateful words there. No refuge, no hiding place, could save the hireling and slave, that's us, that'd be us, from the terror, from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. You shall not run from the gloom of the grave, because we're going to get you, you darky, who went over there to
help the British, you darn darky.
They helped the British.
Steal all of this land, and, you know, we're killing everybody.
And you got the nerve to run over there, try to be free, and join in their little group. Now, let me give a little history, just a brief history, so people can know where this song came from, okay, where the mind is. Okay, so it's about War of 1812. We all went to school, and they said, War of 1812! Yeah, right. Okay, so the War of 1812, British and American troops were fighting against each other because America, of course, was being greedy. And so the British had forces. Well, first of all, there were about 15% of America was enslaved. Okay, that was a lot of people, a lot of folks enslaved. 13% of the population was enslaved. That'd be us. And so the British forces recruited escaped slaves, okay, to fight for their freedom against the American militia. All right? Okay, nothing wrong with that. Y'all running away. Y'all come over here, join us, and we all band together, and we'll fight those dirty folks. All right, so these escaped black Africans were named the Colonial Marines. That's what the British referred to them as, this unit. So they were part of the British forces, okay? And they also, you've heard of some British forces setting the White House on fire at one time in 1814, so they're part of that group. Mm-hmm. Clap, clap. Okay, so when Key references the foul footsteps, when they say the foul footsteps of the Ireland enslaved, who no refuge could save from the gloom of the grave, in the third verse, Key, the person that wrote this song, Francis Scott Key, we always have to learn about him. Oh, he was a strong racist. Oh my gosh, some of the stuff that I read. Okay, so he's very, very pro-slavery, anti-abolitionist, anti-black. So he's referring to the killing of the Colonial Marines. Okay, this African group. He's referring to the killing of them. As noted, he says the Star Spangled Banner. This is what one editor said about the Star Spangled Banner. Banner is as much a patriotic song as it is a disrespect to black people who have the audacity to fight for their freedom.
For their freedom. Mm-hmm.
You have the audacity to fight for your freedom. So this is what we wish for you. Since you're going to run over there, they call them foul. They call them the Ireland and the slave, no refuge for you. And
we're going to kill you wherever we see
you.
We're
going to make sure we get you first.
Well, check this out, y'all. Check this out, y'all. Blacks was promised by Andrew Jackson. If they were to help America, keep the British from taking over America, after the war was over, they would be set free. That was the promise made by Andrew Jackson to the blacks that was enslaved, and that they wanted the blacks to now volunteer to help America keep the British from reclaiming the land. That's what the war was all about, the British trying to reclaim their real estate. And we need to be cognizant of the fact that Andrew Jackson, the founder of the Democratic Party, did all that he could to to keep the Native Americans forever keep their land, make sure that blacks were well entrenched in slavery, because when the War of 1812 was over, the government under Andrew Jackson reneged on that deal that was promised, and blacks were still further enslaved, further mistreated. So psychiatrists once even said, if a slave tries to escape the plantation, that slave is considered crazy. Something's wrong with that slave. Imagine. So those blacks, there will never be a film showing those blacks fighting with the colonial marines, they were called.
Colonial marines.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah. Spike would never do a film on.
Well, somebody just might in the near future. Somebody other than Spike might do that.
Yeah, because hey, the brother who did the film, the brother who did the film, Birth of a Nation.
Hello.
How we can
make
these films? Yes.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Please look up on the internet the War of 1812, because it was for many different reasons. It was also because of the British support for Indians fighting against white settlers, which Andrew Jackson. That is why the Cherokee got kicked out of North Carolina. Andrew Jackson is responsible for that. He's a vicious white slaver himself, or was prior to the Civil War. But it was also because of the British support for the Indians fighting, I shouldn't call them Indians, the indigenous Americans that were here fighting against the white settlers. And then also because of the trade restrictions, because France was also fighting the British, and it was trade restrictions with Canada. And so, I mean, it was a whole bunch of issues. But in reference to that, what Feather Light just said is absolutely the context from which we black people should view it. These were black people that fought for their freedom. The British, you know, offered them freedom if you side with us. So they rose up. The British kept their word. I don't know if it was 6,000 or 60,000, but the United States, when they were negotiating the end of the war, said, well, you got to return these slaves to us. And the British refused and moved the people out.
Right.
So,
She did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alpha Center. And you know, like I always say, and YouTube needs to really start sending some, a check to me, because I'm always talking about YouTube. But of course, you can always go on YouTube and YouTube War of 1812 and find wonderful documentaries on the War of 1812.
And not see, we have really to be clear about the historical.
Say what now? Can't do the historical fact. Yeah, I mean it goes right back to what I said. We should start making sure that we put out some documentaries. That way we'll know.
Right.
Hey, look, this is fact, because guess what? We put it out there. And just producing the content. Put your phone in front of your face. Sit in front of your computer, Candy. And I've mentioned it to you before. You can be the historical master and share that information. But let's talk about this Colin Kaepernick and also Chris Brown. So I don't know if you heard, let me just throw this story out here also, because people can call in and share their thoughts, and you guys can share your thoughts on this too. So a few weeks ago, Chris Brown shared like a live, one of those Facebook Lives. Lord have mercy, why did they start their Facebook Live and their Instagram Live stuff? But Willie D from the Ghetto Boys, I love watching him on there. He's like keeping it real. Check him out. Go follow Willie D, because he's giving some really, really good. He's really working on trying to organize brothers in the community to put their money in the black banks, and people realizing what's been going on and coming up out of that cooning and clowning. And let's stand up and let's fight and let's organize. Let's take back our community. But back to Chris Brown. So a few weeks ago, maybe about a week and a half or so ago, Chris Brown shared like a live stream speaking, what I would say is to his peers in the entertainment industry, saying
we need to stand up and say something about what's going on in our community. We've made the money, and we should speak up and get involved. Basically, let's organize. Let's use our platform to do what we need to do. Let's do a Nina Simone. Let's do a Paul Robeson. You know, we may have to sacrifice, like Colin Kaepernick said that he would do. If he may have to lose his job. He may have to lose
right. his
voice, but he at least he'll know that he did what was right. And I
he's a free man.
Mm-hmm. For that. That's
yeah,
right.
He's
that's
a free
right.
man.
Right.
That's
right.
Right. That's right. You're not going to stop his money. And see, that's what they think. They think that they can put golden handcuffs on people. These corporations
right.
literally act as slave masters. And I don't care if you're making $15 million a year. These people still have these golden handcuffs on you in some of these positions. I have a
that's
master
what,
in business, but I right. will not go and work for some company that's going to harass me and work me till I have a heart attack and then fire me whenever they get ready to.
So exactly.
To me.
So I'm not you see the way they treated you see the way they treated Muhammad Ali?
Of course.
When he came
course,
out he came out just a war in Vietnam. Hey, his
it's
famous
right.
quote, ain't no Viet Cong ever called me a nigger.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So if Colin Kaepernick is fired, I hope is fired from the NFL because he wants to stand up for justice. I certainly hope that he can start some type of league or something himself. And you brothers, recruit those young brothers from these colleges, these black college, black HBCUs or from college or high school or whatever, and start your own.
Start their own league.
And
right.
we go and see that shit, and the tickets won't
that's
be
right.
$1,000. And we have our own damn Super Bowl. Speaking of
that's
this,
and they did have their own league before.
Baseball, right. baseball league.
Yeah,
they have their own
yeah,
league, and they were doing very well.
Very well.
They were doing very well.
If
they were beating them.
If our people left the NFL, hey. My goodness, who the hell want to sit there and watch what they're doing? Nobody. It's like the ratings went back.
Nobody.
After Tiger was out for a spell with all his craziness going on. So look, if Kaepernick, Colin, if you hear me or somebody know him, tell him that we said here at the Lowest Place Radio Station to all you football fans, if Colin is fired from the NFL or they try to make him apologize and he says no. And he has to resign or whatever the hell they do, his union, his NFL union can't fight for him, then when that brother starts with, I don't care if he's selling hot dogs on the street, we need to order his damn hot dogs. Go buy his damn hot
yes,
dogs.
Yes, we need to support him.
Support him. Exactly.
Right.
And those other players do not let need to leave him out there on his
if,
own
or
like
if
that.
Y'all punk asses don't get up and stand up. You mean I better not go over nobody's house and they got their goddamn game on. Because I'm a talk mm-hmm. about you. And I'm just getting ready to tell
that's
you
it.
Right now. Because
and
you
we,
need to force your team, since that's your team, need to tell your team, email your team, tweet your team. Nowadays, you can just tweet these people. Tweet your team, Dallas Cowboys, and tell them, hey, look, hey, what you going to do? You supporting your colleague? What is the union
right.
doing for him? I hope y'all
exactly.
Okay, because Carmelo yeah. and all of them, they trying to do a little something. Beyonce trying to do her little thing or whatever. It's time for people to wake up.
Yes. How many more? How many more?
Community, since they say the father's not there and the school. What Donald Trump say? You're poor. Your schools are bad.
Yeah.
You go outside, you get shot. you don't have nothing to lose. Vote for me. So,
right,
you know,
right.
I mean,
what
you
got to lose?
Vote for Donald Trump or Hillary. Oh, God. You know what I'm saying? What
choose between two wolves.
Julian Assange said, well, you asking me if I have to vote between Julian Assange or WikiLeaks. Said, if I have to vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, that's like asking me if I want gonorrhea or cholera. from the front or the back.
Hey, Brother Malcolm said something that was very heavy also about the Republicans, the wolves and the fox. He said, one's a wolf, one's a fox. He said, they're both canine, both belong in the doghouse.
Both of them. So, but look, don't even get us started on that. But I did have, let me get it, the clip of the, I keep calling her grandmother, but the granny, I'm calling her granny because she's 84. I would call her granny. In Detroit, my age, and that's when I said, oh, I must be starting to look kind of like my age now. But if you're like my age, I guess if you're over 30, the brothers, they call you auntie.
They're like, aww.
Auntie. And that's how they say it. It sounds so cute. Auntie. So, but let me play this clip of Granny getting pepper sprayed by the cops.
Oklahoma police have released surveillance video showing an 84-year-old black woman getting pepper sprayed as the cops had chased a suspect into her home. Now, the suspect was her son. Apparently, he did not stop at a stop sign, and as a result, the cops went after him. He fled, and cops chased him into this home. Now, unfortunately, Geneva Smith, the 84-year-old woman, was in the middle of all this and was unfortunately harmed as a result. So we have a video from Fox 23. That is a local television station. So I want to thank them for the report that they did and also show you a little bit of the surveillance that was put out by the cops. Take a look.
An 84-year-old woman pepper sprayed by a Muskogee police officer is what has many people around town talking. Police say this all started while they searched for the woman's son. Police say he ran a stop sign, then refused to stop, then darted into this home. Police say they asked the man to come out, but he refused, so they went in. You can hear police yell for the man to come towards them before they tase him.
Come here. I'm going to tase you. Do it now.
Then out comes his 84-year-old mother, Geneva Smith, who police command to turn around.
Stay there, ma'am.
We counted, and about 40 seconds after the command, they pepper sprayed her, and then she goes down.
Jesus Christ, man.
That's just crazy. That makes no sense. Even just listening to that, it just sounds totally insane. That's terrible. And I hope that I know that she will sue and probably be paid whatever she's asking for the most part, but it's just the whole deal that she shouldn't have to go through that.
No, she shouldn't.
We're being treated like we live in slave cabins. Like, you can just bust in and do whatever the hell you want to do.
But you know, one family, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes, she was, you were just saying that she'll probably sue and get whatever that she's requesting. But there was one family, and I'm really not sure, I didn't have this pulled up, but this happened a couple of years ago where the police just rammed into their home. And they went to the young man's, their son's bedroom, and they manhandled him, thinking that he was someone else or thinking that he had done something. Anyway, it was a mistake. So they sued. So now 2 years later, the verdict is back, and the jury has agreed to give them a reward, and guess how much the reward was? $1.
$1, I read that.
$1.
$1.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face. It's like, $1. You know, yeah, this is what it's worth to us. This is what you mean. You know, all that suffering and all that they went through, it would have been better if they just said, no, we're not going to give you anything.
Anything. That's just egregious, and it's just an absolute insult. But look, we only have a little more time left, and I know you want to share some mind, body, and spirit with us, and Lord knows we need it after all of this crazy
madness, and we can pick back up on these topics on our next show.
Okay, all right. The title of this is Mind Control. Does it work, and who are the victims? So the words white supremacy, which you know I detest, create within the mind semantic and visual perceptions of black inferiority. That's how I look at it. And that's just, I mean, that's just how I, when I see it, because, you know, I'm a very literal person. And I'm so much into thoughts having energy and words having energy. So what I'm saying is the words white supremacy, it creates within one's mind that the black people of African descent, then they must be inferior. If the white are supremacists, then that means we are inferior. And so words have energy, and energy has power. And if one believes that white is superior, then anything that is non-white, colored or black, is perceived as inferior. So, like, same thing as white is holy, you know, like white angel cake, chocolate devil's cake. You know, white is holy and pure, and then black must be ungodly and evil. So it's this very same perception and logic that the media and other so-called civilized people have used for hundreds of years to justify the murder, rape, and enslavement of people of color. The concept of race was created by scientists and scholars at Göttingen University in Germany between 1775 and 1800. And so during this 25-year period, these so-called scholars invented the word Caucasian, and they divided the humanity into races and contended that the white race was superior. The illusionary myth of race has been in existence for only two centuries. Mind control has been in existence since 1961. Mind control was the work of a Spanish neurologist named Jose de Galdo. He got himself into a bullfight with no training, no experience, no nothing. The real, real vicious bullfight. And just when the bull was about to attack, the bull stopped, he paused, he backed away. De Galdo had used a form of mind control, which he had invented. So this mind control could induce fear, anger, passivity, whatever. The Stanford Research Institute, which we know now was just a cover for the CIA, hired him, and his experiments were used in connection with something that you may have heard called the MK Ultra program. The Unabomber was one of the people who was in this program, going around doing all the bombings. But in 1974, de Galdo decided to return to Spain because he did not approve of the way the Americans were trying to use his method of mind control. And he continued to criticize them harshly right on up until the time he died a few years ago. So our freedom will not be achieved by simply praying and dreaming. We've got a lot of serious work to do. There's mind control being going on by all kinds of methods, but a lot of it is in the media. There is an elaborate system that is being used to control how we view things, how we perceive things, how we process information, and we need to be aware of that. We must examine all aspects of this tool that is being used to attack our people. Examine it carefully, assess what is being offered, determine what is useful to you, and consciously discard everything else. I know it's not easy. I can do it. I've been doing it for a while. I know it's not easy for those of you who depend on the news and listen to the news and believe everything that they say, believe everything that you see. It is not what it is. Nothing is what it seems.
It's all a lie.
Once, it's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a mirage.
But once we become acutely aware of the manipulative nature of the media and how the media uses its platform to cause people to think different ways about different groups of people, mainly us, we will be better able to defend ourselves in that area. Parasites can survive only if we give them what they need. And this particular parasite needs our energy. They're like energy vampires. That's how they survive. Like, we harvest cows and sheep for food and clothes. If we're not careful, we will be used for our energy by energy vampires. If we don't stay woke and be aware, strengthen our inner selves, because if your spirit and your body, your physical body is weak, then you are easy prey. We cannot continue to be easy prey. There's so many distractions. We have to be aware of the media and its power. Everything that you see and hear, from the commercials to news stories to movies, have been carefully crafted by expert minds to influence society and the way we think. And this includes how people think about different groups of people. So, take back your mind. Sometimes we think with other people's minds. I know I've done it. You know, somebody will say, let's do this. I'm like, ah.
Did we lose you? Oh, I think we lost you. But I totally get what you're saying on there. Take back your mind. And it is mind control, all types of mind control through the food, commercials. Notice how commercials are always louder than the actual program you're watching. And the commercials just blast on. And so there's so many things going on around us, the unseen hand that's manipulating all activities of our lives. So, Featherlight, did we lose you? Oh, my God.
Yes, you sure did. Oh. Yes, you sure did. So did you hear me say take back your mind?
Take back your mind. That was the last that we heard. And so I was like, okay. Yes, take back your mind.
Okay. It's like your car. When you let somebody drive it and they don't take care of it, they get it all banged up. Take back the wheel. Take back your car. Take back your mind.
That's the shift that we can have that I would say to what you just shared with us with your mind, body, and spirit tonight, Featherlight. That's the shift that we have to make. Like, how do we change? How are we transitioning? How do we move forward? I remember one of the revolutionary mantras being forwards ever, backwards never. So we have to move forward. We know what is happening, that we're having people that are being shot and killed. We're being gentrified. Neighborhoods completely taken over. We're just pushed out into wherever, and we're being treated as slaves. We have our children being shuffled into prisons, our families, I mean the children, the young people, the middle-aged people, the seniors, and they just have people in there until they just croak over and die, and being sometimes released people. But before we close out, and I know we're running just a little over, thank you so much, Scotty, we should write President Obama before he leaves and ask him to release Mumia Abu-Jamal, pardon Marcus Garvey, and Jack Johnson. And we could say just another writing campaign for those of you that have not already done that, because I know people have. But we should continue that, and at least we can have it on record.
and push
right, him. I like the yes.
Just push him to release our political prisoner. Release
right.
These, I know that he's been releasing a few hundred here and there and all of that, but these people on these stupid drug charges, when you have people that can start up dispensaries in California now, white boys can start up their dispensaries now, doing what you have our black boys
in Colorado,
in Texas, and Georgia for. No, release them now, okay?
Right.
And not when you just release them. Allow them, since you caught them with some drugs, fund their dispensary when they get out. And that's what needs
yes.
to happen.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, we should have a show on this. You know how I do when I get on my soapbox. But we should have a show on that right there alone. Because there are a group of people that are actually working towards that for these people to be able to start a dispensary. Since they were, you know, Big Joe on the block, let them be Big Joe with the dispensary now. You know, so
doing what they can do.
Oh, exactly.
What is legal now? Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So thank you, Scotty, for giving us that time and sharing. Log on to onto BTR, register for your account. Also, purchase a subscription for a friend or loved one so that you can chat on there as well with them and start out with your friends in the Black Talk Radio community. Peace, good night, namaste, and thank you so much.
Namaste.
That wonderful mind, body, and spirit. And
you're welcome.
Thank you for coming today.